Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hi, this is Hal Smith, the Brooklyn real estate attorney right now. On the eve of Halloween.
If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. The folks you meet on like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. Been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. The folks you meet on like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Well, welcome to everyone to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing. And tonight we're going to talk about, on the eve of Halloween, scary real estate scenario. And if this isn't enough to make your hair stand on end, you may never want to buy a house or a co-op or a condo again in your life. So this was Jason's brainstorm, and I'm just wondering, you know, what he has on mind.
Well, I was thinking about some different scenarios that we could maybe even examine to find out just exactly what potentially could crop up at the last minute that would definitely be described as a scary situation for a buyer or a seller that could potentially kill a deal. There are a number of things that I'm sure you've run into in your career that you couldn't have predicted or anticipated, yet they pop up and all of a sudden you're getting ready to close, you're getting ready to move in, and especially in the deals where they overlap and you're selling one home and buying and moving into another. I imagine that takes some pretty good juggling ability and timing, and it's got to be precise because you don't want to be paying your buyer because you're not out of the home you've sold in the allotted time that you've been given in the contract because you're waiting for a hang up on the other end, or something else that comes up, you know, from your sale where your buyer and then that causes a snag in your future purchase. So we're just thinking of a couple of different things that might crop up to prepare people so that they know going into it, hey, these things could happen and I need to be ready for it in case they do. So just some closing issues that we might want to examine and take a look at, and something such as if you're doing a continuing search on the property and say a new judgment shows up that wasn't there 2 weeks before, what's something that could happen there?
Well, the good news, Jason, is that we've never found any dead bodies or bones on the eve of closing, so that'll take it out of the realm of, a little bit of the Halloween realm. But there are still a lot of scary stories, and you mentioned a lot in your opening comments that I'm going to comment on. But the last one, why don't we take that first, is what happens if a judgment pops up, just before closing. And unknown to a lot of people, there's a title search done. A title search may be done about a month before the closing. And, of course, that's as good as the day that was done. Stuff obviously keeps getting piled onto people's judgment rolls, titles, and things like that. And so the title company, in order to protect both its client and all the parties, does what's called a continuation search the night before. And that's when occasionally judgments pop up, because who's to say that maybe the state of New York, the Department of Taxation and Finance, hasn't decided, hey, they waited long enough for you to pay your taxes, and they decide to put a tax lien against your property. Or maybe one of your relatives, maybe one of the owners, has been enjoying Medicaid benefits, and the state decides at the last minute, hey, we want to put something on the record to protect, the money we've paid out to these people. So those are usually, pretty big surprises at the closing. I would say judgments, unknown judgments that pop up just before the closing are usually the things that are the scariest and most likely to derail the closing. Many times these types of judgments, taxes in particular, income taxes in particular, are not something that could be escrowed for. In other words, you can't say, well, you owe New York State $1,000, let's hold $2,000 and pay them off. Generally, title companies don't like to do that, because when it comes to taxes, the taxing department looks for, could come up with any real conceivable, option to try to, they're called revenue officers, and that's the operative term, revenue. And on a slightly different topic, you were mentioning about simultaneous selling and buying. And that's a pretty scary scenario, too. Actually, the only person I've ever done this in the same day is me. And it took about 3 hours. And, yes, our first closing was almost adjourned because of some bank issue. The bank said something like, oh, we don't have all the paperwork. Why don't we put this off a day? And everybody at the table was screaming, no, we can't. We got to go to another, closing. And so that was accomplished in 20 hours. I don't recommend that for anybody. And I actually don't recommend that for my clients. I always tell my clients, let's do a buy and a sale 1 day or 2 days after each other so that you make sure that something gets accomplished. And if there's a bump in the road, you can clean that up, in the following day and then proceed to closing on the next day. So those are pretty much the scariest things that I've encountered, on the eve of closing, today, of course, we're on the eve of Halloween, so same kind of scary things pop up.
But here's an interesting one, and this is something that I've heard on occasion. It's almost like it's a legend, an urban legend that you hear tell of, but you never encounter it, and then you always wonder, well, what if this were to happen? And what if your new home is haunted in the sense that there's a tenant that won't leave.
Yes.
If there's an attached apartment, what do you do then?
Yes, well, I certainly don't advise my clients to buy out in Amityville, and so they've never really, to my certainty, explored those kind of horrors. But yes, the living tenant who inhabits the house could be pretty close to haunting your house. He certainly will haunt you until, the tenant vacates. Many contracts call for the property to be delivered vacant. And in New York City, tenants have an awful lot of rights. And if a tenant wants to dig their heels in, they could probably stay 6 to 9 months after being informed that, there's going to be a closing and a new buyer doesn't want the tenant. So that could be a scary thing. And usually it's remedied over a long haul, either by taking them to landlord-tenant court, which is long, is expensive. More often, we try to persuade the seller, the owner of the house, to cough up a chunk of money to cover the tenant's moving fees, maybe a real estate fee, the first month's rent, the security. Because don't forget, chances are the tenant has been living there for a while, has a relatively low rent compared to current market, and it could cost about $5,000 or $10,000 to move from point A to point B between all the fees. So the tenant is not, jumping for joy, to incur those expenses, and usually will hang in there until the landlord cries uncle and says, here's $5,000 if you move out by the end of the month. But that scenario, the tenant staying on, definitely causes, the closing to adjourn.
Now, there's another situation that someone actually mentioned to me. These are almost told real estate stories in New York are almost something that seems to be told around a campfire, where you have my nightmare can top your nightmare story. And I heard one scenario, and I don't know if you've ever encountered this or heard of this before, where the seller, when the closing was imminent, went back to the buyer and asked for an advance on the down payment in escrow. Have you ever heard of that before? And if so, what would happen in the situation for the buyer? What do they do in that event?
Well, that happens occasionally. Obviously, that's not what you want to happen. When you put a deposit down on a contract, that money is meant to be held in escrow by the seller's attorney normally, and it's not to be touched either by the seller's attorney, the seller, the buyer's attorney. No money's to be spent out of it, because if the closing doesn't occur and the buyer is entitled to their money back, they want, 100% back. They don't want, I needed to pay the gas bill or the oil bill or the real estate taxes came up, I wanted to pay them. Occasionally, the seller may need some advance. That could be, say, in a situation where they have to move somewhere else. Typically, it's not enough money to put down on, say, a new house, because that would be way too much money to release from escrow. But generally, it's from someone who doesn't have a lot of money, but has good equity in their house, but no cash, and has to go into a rental situation where, the landlord is asking for maybe 2 months security, the first and last month's rent, you have to hire the moving truck. So what we do there is we try to make the disbursement payable to the people who we believe are going to be the end users, the landlord, the moving company. Those are the people we want to make the money, the money payable to as sort of an added protection. We just don't want to give the client, say, $10,000 and say, okay, now you have $10,000, you can go rent that apartment and hire a moving truck. We prefer to make the checks payable directly to the new landlord and also to the moving company. And if the deal falls through, it's a risk that the buyer has assumed in order to make, the deal happen. But normally everything works. You cross your fingers. But if it doesn't work, I'm pretty much guessing that the buyer is not going to recoup that money, at least in the near in the near term.
And that, and on that terrifying note, we'll draw a close to one of our first mini episodes where we're tackling a legal topic involving real estate, and this happened to be just our first one on Halloween. Unless you have anything else to add to it, any other stories that might scare buyers or sellers?
I mean, just don't buy from strange people in dark houses, and you know, be careful of what they give you in that goodie bag that they hand out.
And if it looks
scary, probably is scary.
And probably not a good idea to eat any of the candy that you find in your new home if it's left behind.
Probably not. Good advice. Well, this is a good good series of tips for all of our real estate buyers on the eve of Halloween, so that they don't have any more scary stories. Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. We did sort of a shorty on the topic of Halloween-type things that could happen in your real estate deal. And thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to our executive producer, Jason, for coming up with this topic. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning, good afternoon, and good Halloween. I am your host, Robert Howe.